You're listening to the Elevate Podcast, and I'm your host, Robert Glazer. Join me as I talk to world-class performers about how they build their capacity and reach greater heights in leadership, business, and life, and how you can do the same. Welcome to the Elevate Podcast and another edition of Weekend Conversations. Each week, we'll take a deeper dive into an article or interview I shared during the week, often a Friday forward. And joining me to host today is co-producer of the Elevate Podcast, Mick Sloan. How's it going, Mick?
It's going well, Bob. How are you?
Good. We got some sun today after a week of winter rain. So that is an improvement. There's nothing worse than rain in February and March.
The weather really affects you. I can tell when it's nice weather when I talk to you.
Well, yeah, the rain affects everyone. But for me, like, it should be appropriate. There's something around winter rain. Winter snow is really nice. Winter rain, just cold and wet. All right, so today we're going to be talking about yesterday's Friday Forward, which is called Ghost Stories.
So this Friday Forward is about a phenomenon that I think some of our listeners will shudder just hearing us talk about it, which is getting ghosted. And if you don't know what this means, that's great for you. But ghosting is when someone cuts off conversation or communication with another person without notice or closure. So Bob, what's your personal ghosting story?
I'm sure I have many. I think in the professional realm, I shared, I was in my 20s. I was interviewing for a position as an associate of a venture capital firm. Super excited about it. Knew the people, had gone in and interviewed, met with both of them back and forth, and then just nothing. Like, not responding to my emails, nothing, no follow-up. And again, I'm sure a lot of people can sort of relate that, like, it's definitely worse than getting declined, or people generally want closure. And I think particularly when they're ghosted, you create all kinds of different narratives that go beyond, like, oh, I just didn't, you know, get the job, or it just didn't work out, or otherwise.
There's that expression that hope dies last. And yeah. I think that one of the reasons it's difficult, whether it's personal or professional, with ghosting is there's probably, and I would imagine to some extent you felt this with the experience you just said, there's a part of you that's always thinking, well, maybe they just didn't see the email. Maybe it got filtered to spam. Maybe they're too busy to respond, but they will respond later. And then after some negotiation with yourself, you have to come to the acceptance, oh, I just got abandoned in this conversation. So that has to be the
pain. Yeah, and you're visualizing someone on this side reading this and just choosing not to respond and ignoring it. Like, it's an active thing, not a passive thing. So again, you start running a lot of videos in your head, and like, again, you picture that scene, and maybe it did go to spam, right, or something like that, but probably not if they already were interviewing with you. But your version of that in your head is going to be a lot worse.
So this is a pretty pervasive problem. It's growing increasingly more prevalent, it seems, as time has passed. And I think digital communication taking the place of a lot of in-person or voice-to-voice conversation makes this more prevalent. But as you cite in the post, CNBC reported that 40% of job seekers have been ghosted by a company that they've done at least two rounds of interviews with. But 78% of job seekers also admit they've ghosted a company that they've been talking to. So this obviously means that many people who have gotten ghosted also have ghosted themselves. I guess I'd be curious for your thoughts on why people do this to other people when they know what it feels like.
Yeah, and I have about five responses to that, because it's interesting. Because it started with, on LinkedIn, I'm seeing all these people complaining about ghosting. And then the CNBC article comes out and actually says that employees ghost more than companies do. And so, you've probably heard the expression, hurt people. But I'm actually not, I think that's probably true. But I'm not sure that this is like a retribution thing. I think this is a misattribution thing, and that people like to, I think it's part of just our general devolution in society, or devolving of kind of manners and respect, and particularly through digital communication. But it's also this narrative of, which I've talked about a lot and I can't stand, of like, oh, the company ghosted me. And the company didn't ghost you. Like, the company is not a thing. Companies are not real objects. You can't point to the company. You can't tell me where the company is. A person ghosted you at a company. And so I think a lot of times we're, or again, the company did this horrible layoff. Well, yes, the company had a layoff, but people decided how that was going to happen and people took actions. And by the way, those are the same people doing that on one side and maybe being on the receiving end of it on the other side. So I think we're giving the humans and the individuals kind of a free pass here. And again, someone made a decision to do that, and some individual. I don't think it's necessarily a retribution thing. I think it's just easier. It's lazy. It's digital communication. I just think it's part of our general kind of destruction of civility.
Have you ever owned something that inspired you to up your game? 2 years ago, I bought a dual suspension mountain bike for the first time, and it pushed me to ride trails that I had never been willing to try before. When we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has exceptional capability that will have you seeing the possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. The Lexus GX comes with available dynamic sky panorama glass roof, available front row massaging seats, best-in-class towing capacity, available 33-inch all-terrain tires, and available multi-terrain select. I've seen the new Lexus GX popping up all around my town, and not only does it have the capabilities to take you to new places on and off the road, but it's a great-looking car. The new Lexus GX is ready to raise the bar for you. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX, luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
Hey, Elevate listeners. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify is the partner you need to keep the cash register ringing for your e-commerce business. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading platforms. I advise a lot of companies in the e-commerce space, and almost all of them have migrated to Shopify. And as a buyer, what I love about buying from Shopify-enabled sites is that they already know who I am, and I don't have to create a new account or enter all my payment info. The ShopPay service makes it faster and easier to buy, which surely helps with conversions. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/elevate. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/elevate now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/elevate. I think that there is, to some extent, as you say, it is easier. And I think that everyone can admit that it is easier, even if they think that it's reprehensible to ghost people. It's almost as if you have been ghosted, I wouldn't be surprised if some people think of it in terms of almost they've paid their karmic penance in advance. And they're basically thinking, well, everyone does this. It's been done to me X number of times. What like harm am I really doing if I just do this just once? And I think that people often might fall into the trap of thinking, if I don't tell this company that I'm withdrawing from consideration, you know, they probably have 100 other candidates that they could be talking to. I'm not going to like hurt this faceless company that much. But as you're saying, a company is not a human being, but there is a person within that company who may have taken the time to interview with you, to read your application materials, and they might be excited about hiring a person who's about to ghost them. And they might be telling their colleagues like, hey, I found this really good person who's a perfect fit for this role.
So when you think about it, that's sort of the same lie that the person at the employer is telling themselves around. Well, if I just don't get back to Mick, he'll get the message. And you're saying, well, it's a big company. There's just... I just don't get. Look, I believe in karma. I think it's a small world. I think before COVID, we had 10 years of an incredible job market where relationships kind of didn't matter. You could just keep quitting and going on the next job. It was okay. Then it was a disaster. And then we went back to that really quickly. So you have a kind of whole generation who doesn't understand how you get pulled in the workforce and how you can create these kind of negative blocks, because it was just so good that it didn't matter what you did. The next company would hire. They wouldn't do any reference checks. So people are gotten used to burning a lot of bridges. I I can't think of what you could possibly gain by accepting a job or doing something and then not showing up on the first day or not letting the company know. Again, particularly in industries where people move around or otherwise, and you say, there could be this, you know, Mick Sloan interviewer on the other side who was like, I got my candidate. I'm so excited. They're starting Monday. And then the person doesn't show up and they're like, Mick, you're an idiot. Like, you picked the wrong person or otherwise. So like, there is a cost, and you can tell yourself whatever story you want to do, but like, it's not right. You shouldn't do it. But I would argue then the same person who is likely to do that is the type of person that also will be in a role later and think it's okay not to respond to a candidate. Now, there should be consequences in the organization and someone could hold the line, but no one's going to hold the line for that individual unless they have a parent or otherwise who says, look, this is not how I raised you. This is below our standards. Like, we don't do this. You know, we as Glazers don't do this. So this narrative of the company, I think everyone should move away from it because it's people and the company is made up of people and it's the same people with the same behaviors and bad decisions. And so if we want people to behave, we want companies to behave better, we need individuals to behave better and to have higher personal standards.
This relates to a topic you've written about. I can't recall if it was last year or if it was back in 2022, about the sort of the adversarial relationships between employees and employers and the power plays that we saw where we had the Great Resignation.
Yeah.
And we had some like cost cutting and layoffs. And I think this is an example of, I think, that adversarial relationship creeping into further reaching forms of behavior. So it's gone from, well, you don't have to be blindly loyal to a company because they may not be blindly loyal to you, or you don't have to stay and take less money than you think you could get elsewhere just out of a sense of loyalty to the company because they don't care about you. And that is actually, I think, expanded to this, which is you don't have to communicate with a company that you don't want to take their job because they aren't, because it doesn't matter, like, loyalty is not a two-way street. But the thing about that I think is the big difference that you highlighted in the piece is that it really doesn't take a lot of time not to ghost someone. And you can even have a template, for example, that you use and you say the same thing every time. And maybe the person will recognize that it sounds like a bit of a template, but they would probably still appreciate being notified.
Yeah, templates are a great way to do hard things and to say no. You know, I get asked to do a lot of different things and it's hard to say no. And I think Tim Ferriss had talked a lot about having, he noticed that all the really kind of smart people that rejected him used a similar formula and had a template because it's easier, right? You don't have to, again, you're in HR, you could, dear Mick, sorry, we're really sorry. Thank you for coming in and your time. We appreciate it, but you know, we're going to move in a different direction. It's just not that hard. But I think people should choose to do the right thing, even if other people do the wrong thing. So, you know, if you're going to leave a company and you say, look, I have a new job, I'm giving you 2 weeks or 4 weeks notice or whatever, they can be a-holes and tell you to leave that day. But like, you've done the right thing versus saying like, I'm going to leave. And maybe that's the company policy and not your manager's policy. But you go, if you leave in one day or say I'm quitting tomorrow, you may really upset a manager who invested in you. They might be at that next. It just, burning bridges is not, it's just not a good, there's the karma aspect and then it's just not a smart thing. And as someone who has been through these and people, the millennials who grew up in the 2008, 2009 job market when there are no jobs, like, just have a different perspective on maintaining relationships and what happens in environments of scarcity and where there's not enough jobs to go around. And that stuff makes a difference. I think you're going to have a generation of people on the job side after kind of skipping and leaving and exiting poorly and making for 10 years that when things get a little tough or they need to hit their network, like no one's there for them. And the best people get pulled in by their network. They get hired again and again by the people they work with. They made such a good experience. So even if the other person on the other side does the wrong thing, to me, that's not a reason for you to start also doing that, because it just that's just a circling the drain downwards. And again, that next company is not going to do something to you. The next person with no regard for other people or manners is going to do something that is negative to you. I find the notion of the evil company a really not helpful and false narrative. Companies are made up of people, and people are made up of the collective practices of what's going on in society that day, and it will reflect that. So we need to do better as individuals, and it's on all of us. It is, look, if I was leading a team or a company or an HR department, I'd be like, we do not ghost people. And if I hear that we ghosted someone and we didn't get back to them, then that's a ding on your performance review, because that's not who we are, and that's not the type of people we are, and that's not how we want to be known in the marketplace. And it's not that hard to create some accountability within your team.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
There's an opportunity here to flip the narrative, I think, because I think part of the problem is that there's a bit of a collective action problem perception that it feels bigger than one person that ghosting is a thing that exists, and they feel like they can't stop it from happening no matter what they do. But I'd argue, and if, you know, you just argued this as well, this is an opportunity where each individual person does have control over things. You can't ensure that you never get ghosted, but you can ensure that you never ghost someone else. And it really doesn't take that much time. And it is legitimately a way to put something good into the world and to stop something bad from happening from someone else. And I think that those opportunities are pretty rare. And this is a case where I think that people should think of it as an opportunity to do right by another person in a way that's super easy. Like, it's really, really easy to send a quick email.
And when you lower your standards, you lower your standards, right? Ghosting is super, thank God I've been out of the dating scene for a while and the app dating scene, but apparently it's super common in dating now. And you talk to someone, you just stop responding to them, right? And I understand there's multiple streams of text or otherwise, but it's hard to believe that, you know, again, if you start normalizing the behavior in one context, that you don't normalize it in another context. And again, things become sort of vicious circles or vicarious circles. So I would not be surprised if someone did a study and said that the same people that ghosting and dating are ghosting in, you know, it just becomes their method of operation.
I think in both personal and in professional ghosting, there are two. To simplify it, there are two types of people. I think that there are people who really just don't care and they say, screw that person, it doesn't matter, I don't owe them anything. I also think that there are people, it's kind of similar to the phenomenon that you read about where if someone has an email that they haven't responded to and then they put it off for a week and then they start thinking, well, now is it awkward? Has it been too long? And they put it off another week and then it just falls into this hole of non-response where it's unrecoverable. And I think actually this connects pretty clearly to something that you've written and talked about a lot, which is this inability to embrace discomforting situations. And I think that so many people are afraid of having a conversation with someone where they have to reject them, or even sending someone a note where they have to reject them or decline something.
Yeah.
And I think that people are afraid to put themselves in that uncomfortable situation and are just would always choose to be conflict avoidant, even if it's a small conflict.
And because texting has allowed us to do that. I remember the first time I went to quit a job, you know, and go in and tell them that. And I was in my head. I didn't sleep the night before. I was super nervous, but like, that's something you need to learn, and you need to learn how to have that discussion. And we are social human beings. We were not designed to text each other and have critical conversations. And I think that's ruined our ability to do that. So like, doing hard things is important, and these aren't easy conversations. And it's not easy to say, hey, we had three amazing candidates and you know, we could only go with one. On the flip side, I think from the employee searching side, it's just not hard to say you're taking a different job. That again, you're not individually hurting that person in the same way. You're not denying them employment. I to me, like, that's just, if we're not willing to do that, you know, we're not willing to break up, like, it's just going to devolve into, unfortunately, and if it becomes, you know, not to now trail this off into, if you only learn how to do hard things online, then you become just the angry Twitter poster, right? Who has this other identity, and you just learn to, like, be aggressive online and not willing to have any real challenging or difficult conversations in person. And I just wish people could step back and see that these are all manifestations of our larger problems in society right now. And we need to stop blaming TikTok and Instagram and everyone else and start taking some personal responsibility for our part in this.
Totally agree. I do think digital communication is a big factor in here. My question that I have for you is, what do you think the solution is here? Like, do you think that this is something where it's just everyone has to agree to not do this and, like, on an individual basis change their behavior and that will take hold? Do you think that if, say, there were more companies that had, as you put it, like, a pretty strict policy against ghosting, do you think that would help address the problem?
Let's just go back to the individual on this. Like, anyone who's listening, you know, to this, you know, podcast or can make a decision. They can make a decision to be someone who doesn't ghost, who treats people with respect. And then that applies to their dating life. It applies to their personal life. It applies to their managerial life, where they're going to go back on their team and say, look, you know, tomorrow they're going to listen to this and say, look, when we're hiring people, I want to make sure this is a standard. This is like what you tolerate. I'll make sure that we don't ghost people. And the way, and I had this discussion with someone else on our team yesterday about a different context, kind of giving them some coaching around, you know, if you want to do something and you don't hold people accountable for it and make their inability to do that part of their own performance review, it won't happen. So if I was the leader of an HR department, I would be like, look, if I get a note that we abandon a candidate, like, you're not getting a raise. You're not getting a promotion. That's not part of who we are or what we do. And people are afraid to do that. But that's about having standards and values and upholding them. So let's not talk about societal change and policy change. Let's talk about the, you know, 10,000 people who are downloading this episode in the next week saying, look, this is, I am going to control this how I can control it. And I'm going to try to start the vicarious cycle. And maybe that person sets a policy on their team and that person goes on to another team and they go on to become a leader and they go, you know what, we're going to do the same thing here. Like, it's disrespectful and we're just not going to do that. What's crazy is this is not that hard. Anyone can do it. I can't imagine anyone's leader would overrule them and be like, no, you need the ghost candidates. That's our policy, right? And if they do that, like, go on Glassdoor and write that and say, this company has a managerial policy of ghosting companies and it's part of their playbook. But this just isn't hard. But this requires, we love blaming the collective. We love blaming inanimate objects. And again, a company is an inanimate object. People are talking about these evil companies. And I understand that culture drives a company and sometimes that comes from the top. But this is, you know, this is how you get people make these decisions and people decide to go on with horrible things or either speak up or change it or do something, you know, different. I think we've spent way too much time, you know, looking outside rather than looking within. And it just, to me, so many of these things start with individual behavior. I can be someone who has to do a layoff on my team. And there's 10 ways I could do that. And there's bad ways and other, like, no one's telling me to go do that in the worst way possible. I think everyone's just trying to make it easy on themselves and painless. But that is always going to be an individual choice of the people involved with that.
The other thing that is notable here is obviously it's something that individuals can change how they behave. It also really does get easier. I know from experience that you've laughed about this before. I've had to say no to people who have pitched, for example, to be on this podcast. And I used to really just be tormented over sending these emails, declining people. And now I just say, you know, thank you so much for reaching out. We're not taking pitches right now. And I have never gotten a message back from someone saying, how dare you? Like,
but they're probably surprised you replied, because all day. And look, this is my one exception to the rule. I think, as I said, I respond unless I missed an email or it was just a, hey, I loved it. Like I do respond to anything that people send me. In fact, people have sent me long, complicated things, and I have responded and taken 30, 60 minutes for an hour. And I usually 90% of the time, they never respond back. So it's interesting where they felt the need to say something, but then they didn't really want to engage or dialogue. So I took the time to respond, and then they sort of ignored me. But that is the one exception. I think there's a, particularly with AI, and there's a lot of unsolicited kind of sales stuff there. But look, if someone like Adam Grant has a policy to get back to everyone, certainly like other people can adopt that too. It's just, again, what's your personal brand? What's your personal standard? How do you want to be known? And I'm sure, you know, there's tons of podcast pitches every day, and they probably 99% of them never hear anything back. And then what do? When they don't hear anything back, they send 4 more follow-ups. So sometimes just by saying, thanks, we're not interested, like you just save their time and save your time.
I won't name the company or the CEO that it was, but there was someone who I pitched. I believe it was maybe to be on this podcast, or maybe it was an interview for one of your books. But I sent a cold email to a CEO of a pretty large company, and the CEO actually wrote back and said, thanks for reaching out, but I'm not interested. I was really floored, and that was really clarifying to me, thinking, well, if this person can write back, then yeah, I really think anyone can.
And look, with AI, you can have your templates, it can write back. Like there's less excuses than ever not to take the 5 or 10 seconds to reply to someone.
Yeah, and so I think, to bring this in for a landing a bit, I do think a lot of people, despite the repeated emphasis of that it's easier than you would think, a lot of people will probably read the post or hear this and say, well, I'm too busy to respond to everyone or email every candidate I interview. And so you obviously make a habit of replying to emails you get. How do you fit that into your schedule and make sure that you have time to do that without getting overwhelmed with emails?
Yeah. So first of all, to go back to something you said, I understand being too busy to respond to every email that you get, maybe unsolicited, but to be too busy to respond to follow up with every candidate you interviewed is BS. Like if you have the time to interview candidate, they have the time to come in, you have the 10 seconds to respond to them. Let's not give anyone any excuses for that, because there really isn't. And look, everyone has time. Everyone has time challenges. But a lot of times it doesn't take a lot. Hey, thanks, got it, appreciate the message, you know, whatever it was. Again, I probably get more unsolicited emails than the average person, but it's not a huge investment of my time. Look, there's some days or there's some Friday forward where I get 200 replies and I can't do it all at once, or I can't do it at that time, or I might be on vacation that day. But I look for the ones that are a dialogue or a discussion. And if it's a 2-sentence word, or just thanks for sending or appreciate it, it sends the message, oh, a live person is reading this. So you can make the systems. If you're really that busy, you probably have an EA. You can train your EA on the email. They can respond. Like there's often a system on this. You can put it in a folder. Next time you're sitting on a plane with nothing to do, you can, you know, respond to it. So there's a whole post on too busy. I think the too busy is kind of an excuse. But again, I'll go back to the, if you are having someone coming in and interviewing with your company and you can't take the time, again, similarly, there's no way that the time is an excuse for someone not telling a company that they took another job and not showing up on their first day. And anyone who thinks that that's a smart career activity to do is incredibly, again, they're sticking it to the company or the man, they're getting like, what is, you're sticking it to a person, and that person might have a vendetta against you in a person, and that person might be on the interviewing team, another company, and they're like, I know that guy, he didn't show up for his first day. You have no idea some of the negative blockers that you create. There's a lot of back channeling reference out there. There's a lot of people see on LinkedIn. Did you know this person? I get called for interviews, requests all the time for reference checks of people who did not give them my name. And so I think people forget that there could be this, you know, you could be creating this negative force field for you out there without even knowing it. And that's why bad karma, bad juju is just a bad idea.
So bringing it home with the quote of the week, Richard Branson said, "Respect is how to treat everyone, not just those you want to impress." Why'd you pick this quote?
Yeah, I look, how you treat the lowest level person says a lot about the type of person you are. And I remember there was I wanted to emulate this years ago, because I was always interested with the most interesting kind of interview constructs. And we would bring people always to a dinner for a late round interview because we wanted to meet them in person or otherwise. And there was a CEO who in the final round interview would have the restaurant always bring the person the dish that they didn't order. They would bring them the wrong thing. And what he was looking for, and I actually had postulated almost the same thing. There are no original ideas to someone who said I wanted to do it. And they told me it was crazy. And then there's an article in Fortune or something about a CEO that did this. You know, they wanted to see the range of this, and particularly how people treat help, you know, or people that are quote unquote kind of beneath them. Now, there's three responses to this. There's the eat it and don't say anything and it's the wrong meal. And that's someone who's sort of, you know, passive or maybe overly passive, which the CEO didn't want. And a lot of people who are rude can't help themselves of being rude. So they would see like, oh, I did not order this, or, you know, whatever it was. And they would kind of watch again, how did that person treat someone, knowing, or maybe now they don't even realize that that's who they are, that they're in this environment where other people are watching them. And then the third option, which, you know, was what he was looking for in this case, was like, excuse me, you know, sir, ma'am, I'm so sorry, but I ordered the hamburger and this is the tuna. Could you check on this for me? Right. And that was sort of the sweet spot. And that's what at least he was looking for in that interview. And I sort of agreed with that. I've heard a similar thing about driving a car and are you busting lights or being way too passive. But yeah, I think people particularly, there are a lot of things around looking at how do they treat help, you know, and that says a lot about people's characters when, you know, a lot of people are good at brown nosing and managing up, but how are they generally with people where there's nothing to gain from them? And I think that tells you a lot about someone's level of respect in their character.
Yeah, it's a real measure of someone's character if they treat people with genuine kindness when they don't have to. And that should be a low bar to clear, but a lot of people don't clear it.
Yeah, and I'll just throw in, like, I was down south in a couple, I was in Birmingham last week in Atlanta. And the stark contrast for me on how friendly everyone was and people in the service industry and generally just conversational and enjoying, it was interesting. Like it's a different culture. So thanks for listening, everyone. If you want to check out the post we discussed today, go to robertglazer.substack.com and look for the post titled Ghost Stories. Keep on the lookout for future editions of Weekend Conversations, which will be in your feed every Saturday morning. And if you haven't subscribed to the show, that's the best way to find out about new episodes. So subscribe today on your favorite podcast app. And until next time, keep elevating.
This episode is brought to you by the Yap Media Podcast Network. I'm Hala Taha, CEO of the award-winning digital media empire, Yap Media, and host of Yap Young and Profiting Podcast, a number one entrepreneurship and self-improvement podcast where you can listen, learn, and profit. On Young and Profiting Podcast, I interview the brightest minds in the world, and I turn their wisdom into actionable advice that you can use in your daily life. Each week, we dive into a new topic like the art of side hustles, how to level up your influence and persuasion, and goal setting. I interview A-list guests on Young and Profiting. I've got the best guests, like the world's number one negotiation expert, Chris Voss, Shark Damon John, serial entrepreneurs Alex and Layla Hormozi, and even movie stars like Matthew McConaughey. There's absolutely no fluff on my podcast, and that's on purpose. Every episode is jam-packed with advice that's going to push your life forward. I do my research, I get straight to the point, and I take things really seriously, which is why I'm known as the podcast princess and how I became one of the top podcasters in the world in less than 5 years. Young and Profiting Podcast is for all ages. Don't let the name fool you. It's an advanced show. As long as you want to learn and level up, you will be forever young. So join podcast royalty and subscribe to Young and Profiting Podcast. or Yap, like it's often called by my Yap fam, on Apple, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.